again, good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Wednesday, June the 6th, 2018, 14 minutes past the hour. You're tuned into the Now program here on WWGH Radio. Now, a little programming note. Coming up tomorrow on the program at 12:10, we're going to be joined by David Newell, our old friend David Newell, who you probably remember best as Mr. McFeely from the Mr. Rogers television series, which is celebrating 50 years on the air, the 50th anniversary of going on the air this year. The show ran from 1968 until 2001, so this year, 2018, would be the 50th anniversary. And there's a new documentary out this summer, The Way I Like You, Mr. Rogers. So David Newell tomorrow at 12:10. But joining us this hour is a first-time visitor to this program, and I am so glad that he is with us. You will not find a more versatile actor than the man we are joined by today. You have probably seen him in The Larry Sanders Show, the movies Poltergeist, All the President's Men, China Syndrome, TV series such as The Golden Girls, As the World Turns, even going back to the Lux Video Theater, and he knew Buster Keaton. How many people can say that? And he's still working into his 90s. So glad to welcome to these microphones actor James Caron. Mr. Caron, how are you?
I can barely hear you, Scott.
Okay, is that any better now?
Nope.
Okay, well, we'll work on it. We'll see what we can get done.
Okay.
Well, I'm so glad to have you on, and I wanted to start, what was your childhood like?
I can't hear you, Scott.
Is that any better?
No.
Let me try a little something. Is that better?
A little bit, but it's really not quite satisfactory.
Okay. Well,
and I've got my hearing aids in.
Okay. Let me see what I can work with here. What was your childhood like?
Well, small town, loving parents, very pleasant. Very pleasant. It wasn't Oliver Twist.
How did you get into the acting profession?
Scott, it's really unsatisfactory. I cannot hear you.
Okay. But would there be another line I could call you on?
No, this is our line into the house.
Okay. Let me see here what I can do.
I've not had any trouble this morning. The problem is yours.
Okay. Well, I tell you what. Let me work on this for a minute. And
it's okay.
Yeah, we'll get there. We'll get it fixed here. How did you get into the acting profession?
Well, there was a wonderful little theater in Wilkes-Barre. The Wilkes-Barre Little Theater, naturally. And there was a man named Dan Flood who became a representative in Washington. And he was sort of he had been an actor and had gone become a lawyer, and he saw me one day on my way home from school. I had to go by the Wilkes-Barre Little Theater to get home, and he said, "Hey, kid," I guess about 13. He said, "Hey, kid, are you a Boy Scout?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You want to be an actor?" I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Do you want to be in a play? The Wilkes-Barre Little Theater." I said, "Oh, sure." He said, "You're a Boy Scout?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You got a Boy Scout uniform?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, go home and ask your father if you can be in a play. Tell him Dan Flood is requesting you." He was quite well known in the town. He was one of the leading lawyers. Of course, my father said, "Well, if you want to, sure." So I said, "Yes." And I worked in the Wilkes-Barre Little Theater for the rest of my high school days. Did maybe 4 or 5 plays there. So I was hooked.
What was it about acting that you think
I
got
went
you?
To New York after I graduated high school and enrolled. I actually got a scholarship. I tried out for one and got it at the Neighborhood Playhouse in New York, which was the Sanford Meisner School. Have you heard of Sanford Meisner?
No, I haven't. No, I haven't.
Oh, I thought we were disconnected. He was one of the leading acting teachers in New York. And there was really the Neighborhood Playhouse, which was kind of gritty, and the American Academy of Dramatic Arts, which was more professional, in the sense of a professional school. The Neighborhood Playhouse was really kind of a theater, and it was a theater. So I loved it. It was the right place for me.
What was Buster Keaton like?
I'm just not hearing you. I'm so sorry, but your volume is very low. What did you say?
What was Buster Keaton like?
When he was the greatest man I ever worked with. I adored him. I made a big effort. He was my idol. He was my idol as a child. And, hold on. I'm not going to bother with it.
Okay.
I'm not even going to. Let me. One second. Hang up. The best kind. Where were we?
Buster Keaton. Talking about Buster Keaton.
Well, he was my idol as a child. And I heard that somebody was trying to put together a package for summer stock with him. And I made it my business to get into it. And I cultivated my friendship with him and learned an awful lot. He was just a wonderful man to work with, and I remained friends with him as long as he lived. I used to come out to California and work with him. He came into New York. I worked with him in New York on television. I just loved him, and he had a wonderful wife. We became very close friends, his family and my family. He's my son's godfather.
How did you get the role in Poltergeist?
Well, I'll never know. I was in New York, and my agent, Mary Ellen White, called me, and she said, "Do you know the director, Spielberg?" And I said, "No." She said, "That's funny. He's asked for you, and he wants you to start work." I think what happened was somebody fell out, because I had to get right back to L.A., and somebody from MGM met me at the plane and took me to wardrobe. I started to work the next day. So, but it was a lucky perchance, because it was a marvelous job. We had a great time shooting that. And it meant a lot to my career.
Why do you think that movie still holds up today?
Well, it's exciting. It's mysterious. It's a lot of good actors in it. And the story is just great. So, I don't think it's a case of people identifying with anything. They just love that picture. It still holds up, still plays all the time. I still get most of my fan mail is from that and Return of the Living Dead.
Tell me about Return of the Living Dead.
By the way, are we on the air?
We are.
Oh, hello. Hello, listeners. What town are you in?
We're in Marion, Ohio, just outside Columbus.
Ah, yes, of course. I worked in Columbus one time. Where were we?
Return of the Living Dead.
Return of the Living Dead. That was the most fun to make. We were the actors kind of with the ascent of the director, just sort of went crazy and ad-libbed, improvised, just had a great time. And it certainly still holds up. I saw it recently at a screening I was invited to, and I sat and I hadn't seen it for a number of years. It holds up very well. Have you seen it recently?
I have. It's a very good film. I say it's a very good film. Holds up very well.
Yes. 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 So, it was just a wonderful time. The actors were fun to work with. It was an all-around good time.
What was it like guest starring on The Golden Girls?
I'm so sorry to keep saying this, guy.
No, it's okay.
I cannot hear you.
What was it like?
A perfectly good phone.
Yeah.
The connection is wrong.
The connection must be bad. It dropped out a little bit earlier on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But now I heard you now.
Okay. Tell me about your work on The Golden Girls.
Well, first of all, I loved our star. I'd known her in New York for years. Her husband was a good friend of mine. And we had a... You know, when you work on those things, it's very fast. You're there for a couple of days, and that's it. But because Dee and I were friends, and her husband, as I said, it was easier to work. Nice to work with friends. You don't have that moment or those days of being polite. You know, you go right in and you dig in and you are working free. You don't have the formalities of getting to know each other. So that was a good time. And I think it's a good show. I think B did a great job.
Tell me about your appearance on The Jeffersons.
Oh, well, I was such a terrible man on it. You know, I was really the Ku Klux Klan man, and the audience was quite a black audience, mostly black, and they began to boo, and Sherman stopped them, and he called me and he said, Jimmy and I are old friends. He said, Jimmy is just playing a part. It was charming, and but it was the show had a lot of repercussions. I was then spokesperson for a large supermarket chain in the East, Pathmark. I don't know whether you ever had them out your way, but it was a huge chain of grocery stores. And the employees were very upset that I used the N-word in the, and Sherman and the people from the show came out and talked about it, some of them came to a big meeting, annual meeting of the store, and the employees, and talked about how I wasn't that kind of person at all.
Mm. Do you ever think about that when you take a part? When you read the part of this awful guy, did you think, well, maybe I shouldn't do that?
I've had occasion to think about that, but I always did it. I thought, you know, I should do it. And be aware of it. I wouldn't shirk from doing a part like that. Although my agent was sorry that I did it, but it didn't hurt me. Most people, I think now, at one time, people identified completely with the parts you played. And but not anymore. They now know the difference. And Sherman was wonderful. He escorted me home. He saw to it that nobody yelled at me. So it's funny. People do, though, sometimes think that you are that person. Not so much anymore, but earlier on, yes. I know my father, who's a very elderly man, when television came in, he identified with those people, and he would say, "That's son of a gun." I didn't say son of a gun, but we're on radio, right?
What? Yes. That's right.
Wasn't I smart? That son of a gun, he'd say. He's no damn good.
Mm.
It's interesting that many people do think of you as the part. If you play a lot of villains, the man you love to hate, that's what they used to say about Eric von Stroheim, who always played villains. Do you know the man? Know the name?
I do.
So, Eric von Stroheim was always identified with his parts. People hated him. And he was a lovely man.
Are villains more fun to play? Is it more fun to play the bad guy?
Yes, it is. It is. Except, I like to play good guys, too. It's fun to be warm. It's nice to be warm and liked. You know, you feel it somehow through the audience. And, but an old-fashioned villain where they hiss you is fun to play. When you hear that hiss, you know you've done a good job.
What was it like to work with Gary Shandling on the Larry Sanders Show?
With Gary Shandling?
Yes.
Oh, I liked him. I liked the show. And we had a very good time on that show. All the people on it were interesting, and I'm trying to remember some of them. It's early in the morning out here.
No, I understand.
I'm half awake, frankly. Let me slap myself in the face a bit. I've already had cold water. But it was, let's see, it was Gary.
And Jeffrey.
Tall fellow.
Yeah, Jeffrey Tambor.
Jeffrey Tambor, an actor I really like. And I've worked with him several times. Awfully good actor and a very pleasant man. So that was a good show to work on. I've had very few unpleasant experiences. I've been very fortunate. Most of the people I've worked with have been just lovely to work with. Couple of bad ones, but, well, it's not unnatural, is it, in any profession, any job. You're liable to run into somebody who's not too nice.
You know, a show you did that I really liked, a show that you did that I really liked was First Monday with James Garner.
Oh, yes. Jim Garner is one of the nicest men I've ever worked with, and we loved that show. I'm so sorry it didn't go. It just didn't make it. Did we have two seasons? I don't remember.
Not long enough.
Pardon?
I say, it wasn't long enough because it was a good show.
No, and there were other people on the show who were lovely.
Charles Durning.
It was a good gig.
Yeah, Charles Durning was on that show.
Charlie Durning, yes. Very good friend of mine. And, yeah, I had a lot of fun with him. I knew Charlie on Broadway. We had worked together years before on Broadway. And we were good. We were close personal friends. So that was fun.
What is it like to work on the stage?
Can't hear you. I'm so
sorry. Oh, no. What is it like to work on the stage in front of a live audience?
Oh, it's exciting. I mean, you can really feel them. You can tell how you're doing by the... There's a strange buzz that you can tell when you're doing well. And there's a strange silence when you're not. But it's exciting. It's inspiring. And also, I love long runs. But a lot of actors don't. But I do, because it's a different audience every night. And got to win them over. Or make it work. I spent most of my life on stage. I started working on stage in 1940, I was in New York. But I had worked in Wilkes-Barre with the Wilkes-Barre Little Theater, as I mentioned before, and there was a very professional company. And so we had they would hire a director from the theater from New York for the year, and they had some pretty good people. So it was an exciting time in Wilkes-Barre working. And of course Dan Flood was a highly professional man who had worked in the theater when he was a young man, and it was a great period all through high school. So I had a place to go to every day. The Wilkes-Barre Little Theater. I would go there. Instead of doing my homework, I went to the Wilkes-Barre Little Theater, where they were building sets and They had a huge library of plays. I used to go there and read instead of doing my homework.
When you,
investment.
Yeah, I think it paid off okay.
It did.
It did. When you get a script for a part, how do you approach that? How do you become that person?
I read the script constantly. I read it over and over again, pretty much until I know pretty much all the lines and could play any part. I work on my part in relation, I think. I try to think how I feel about everybody in the play, in the script, and I think about what might be. What if things were different? If the given circumstances were different. But mostly, I just read it and reread it until that's all I can think about.
How much of yourself, how much is the man, James Karen, in each role you do?
Well, it's unavoidable that your psyche, your experiences are you and with you, and your opinions about the things that happen in the play or screenplay are, you live with them. They're irrevocable. And so you have to figure them all out. I tell you the truth, I don't do a lot of work on my part. I just keep reading it, and it's what other people say about you and think about you that helps me form my character. But I try not to force things. I try to let things happen. Just living with that script for a week or so, getting to know everybody in the script, and I get a lot from the actors who are playing the other parts in rehearsal. It's just being available, being open. Don't form your opinions too early. Things are often quite different in the end result that you had envisioned when you first read it. I'm always surprised, pleasantly surprised, that you learn so much just from going over that script. I worked with Jason Robards on stage a lot. Do you remember Jason?
Absolutely.
Jason would take a script. I have one here of Jason's, and it is so marked up with his comments about everything going on, you can barely read the script.
It's fascinating. You have worked in this profession since the 1940s. It is now 2018. How has your profession changed, and how has it stayed the same?
Well, interesting question. It's the same because it's people. Uh, doing the work. It's different because I think we're working in television. We work faster. There's not as much time. I love the theater because you've got 4 weeks of rehearsal where you get to know the other actors. You get to observe during rehearsal the changes as the weeks go by, the deepening of your feelings and your relations with other people. I really like the stage a lot more than movies. I like because there's time. Television is rushed. And it is not quite as satisfying. Although I've been on some television shows that I've loved doing. I like working with my fellow actors. I've run into very few louses, bums. Most of my people I've worked with have been lovely. Not all. I work with some beasts, too, but I don't think about them as much as the people I've grown to love. I've worked with some wonderful people. I miss Jason Robards all the time, because we started out together. I met him my first day in New York after the war, and he had just gotten back. And he'd been in the Navy, and I'd been in the Air Force. And we met on a casting call. And we went out and had a sandwich and a cup of coffee together. And we were friends for life.
You are currently 94. What is the...
Oh, dear.
What's the secret? How do you get to be 94?
Well, I think you do that by living more, living better, living more fully than taking care of yourself. I never took very good care of myself. I never exercised a day in my life. Don't like exercise. And, The thing that keeps me going is I really have loved most of the people I've worked with. I could count on two or three fingers the unpleasant people that I've worked with. That's pretty good.
Not too bad. Not too bad at all.
Over a period of, how many years is that? From 1940?
78.
Well, that's a long time, isn't
it? That is. Do you ever think about retirement?
Oh, no. No. God, no. Not as long as I can get a job. You never know. The best part of all might show up one day, just around the corner. No. And I really mean it. I've met so many wonderful people. I'm trying to think of somebody that I really hated or didn't, you know, thought was... And I can't... I'm sure there have been a couple, but they haven't made that kind of a impression that I can think of their names. But I can sure think of a lot of great names that I love.
when you are thinking about people you loved, who comes to mind?
Well, Jason is one of them. Jason Robards. I just loved working with him. We had so much fun. And Barry Nelson, great actor. Know Barry?
Yep, yep.
I loved Barry. And Colleen Dewhurst. Just loved her. Maureen Stapleton.
Mm, she was great.
Wonderful people. Lifelong friends. And I'm the last survivor of that group. It's lonely here. Lonely! I fortunately have the most wonderful wife. I've been lucky. I've had two good wives. And Alba Francesca, whom I met in a show, at the American Place Theater in 19. She was just out of college. And I met her, and she was just so darling. And I was a man who never liked the idea of an older man with a younger woman. And I really was very careful. I sort of kept my distance. And finally I couldn't help it. She was so darn cute and smart. And I invited her to the Players Club one night. And the rest is history. We went to Texas to do a show for the summer of, what was that summer? Summer of 73, I think. Yeah. And we just never separated after that. My first wife was a wonderful woman. Susan Reed. I wasn't having trouble remembering her name. I just wasn't sure I should mention it. She's gone now. Lovely woman. And I have a son from that marriage. Swell boy. Hardly a boy. He's about 58 or 59. But he's a good fellow. Reed Karen. And he lives on Shelter Island. And he's a building inspector there. So I hope he hears this.
Yeah. We'll hope he does. James, if you had to take one performance and put it in a time capsule, what performance would it be?
No doubt about it. Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf?
What is my favorite
play.
What is it about that performance?
Well, it's the play.
The play.
As well as the play. It just has everything. It's got great drama, great emotional ups and downs. It's funny as hell, and it's real. There's nothing in it, no moment, no single moment that is false. Edward Albee is my favorite playwright. Wonderful man. Wonderful man. I was with the play in New York and London. I love that play. I'd like to do that play tonight. if I could remember the words. There's great long speeches in it. It's really very simple, Martha. This young man is working on a system whereby the chromosomes can be altered. Not all by himself, of course. He probably has one or two co-conspirators. The genetic makeup of the sperm cell changed, reordered, to order, actually. Hair, eye color, stature, potency, I imagine. All imbalances will be corrected, sifted out. Propensity for various disease will be gone. Yes, we shall have a race of young men, test tube bred, incubator born, superb and sublime. Nice words, aren't they?
Not bad. Not too bad at all.
Covered all me.
Is there anything, James, in this career that you regret doing?
I'm really trying to think. Regret doing.
Say, boy, I wish I hadn't have done that. I didn't like that part that well.
I'm really thinking.
Well, let me ask you.
There's got to be some stuff. I mean, I wasn't good in everything. And, I mean, there's a lot of stuff I wasn't good in. But, offhand, I also was always looking for work. You know, some actors like to take time off. I never did. I like to work. I work in summer stock in the summertime when the Broadway shows were quieted. I worked Broadway. I worked off Broadway. I worked all over the country. I toured a lot. And, what was your question?
Is there anything you regret?
I can't say there is, but I don't think about regretting work. No, nothing that is searing. There are probably some parts I shouldn't have done. But I think it's better to work than not work. I would rather have attempted to do something, even if I wasn't crazy about the part. Well, there must be something in it that you can find that would inspire you to dig deeper.
Is there still something you want to do that you have not done?
Well, it's too late to play Hamlet.
You never know.
I played Hamlet many, many years ago, and it is a great part. But I never felt the need to play Lear. I don't even think I ever honed in on Shakespeare, although I have done a lot of Shakespeare. But I enjoyed current playwrights. Albee's my favorite. I just love Edward's work. And, I sort of met him when he was first coming up, and I did one of his early plays off Broadway, Marion Seldes. Do you remember her?
I do.
I was crazy about working with Marion. She and I worked together a lot. By accident. I think we were people cast us together. but I did like her a lot.
Would you like to go back and do more stage work at this point?
Yes, I would if I could. You know, at 94, you don't feel great every day. And I would be hard-pressed to do something on Broadway, on stage, or, not necessarily on Broadway anywhere, but I would be hard-pressed to do it every day and be good every day. But I sure would, I'd love to get back on stage. If somebody came up with anything for me. But people now think of me as a movie actor. They don't think of me as a stage actor. And it has been a long time since I've been on stage. I don't think I've been on stage in the last 15 years. However, there's always tomorrow.
There certainly is. When it's all said and done, 100 years from now, how would you like to be remembered?
My God, just to be remembered that long would be wonderful. I hope somebody does remember. But 100 years, they wouldn't remember a live performance. They have to say, I saw a guy in a movie, and I liked him. That would be great.
I think that will happen with no trouble. James, I can't thank you enough for coming on today. I've enjoyed this quite a bit.
Well, that's very nice of you to say. And so have I. It's been very pleasant, very easy. And I hope your fans like it.
I think they. You stay well, and we'll do it again one day.
I'll do my very best to make a date in the future.
You stay well, James.
But you must do it before I'm 100, because I'm going to retire at 100.
James Caron, thank you so much.
Thank you for having me.
Bye-bye.
And thank your people, your audience, and I hope they all have a good rest of the year.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, James Caron, not too bad at all. That's it for today. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Road, telephone number 740-225-4495.